if there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
I respect you, and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, Jaya.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing? Ladies and gentlemen, I have finished White People Food. White People Food is fully written. I'm so happy to be done. Now I'm entering review phase, but it's just going to be checking over everything. But 307 pages, the book is now written. We are in May. I am absolutely on schedule. That's exactly what I was targeting. In fact, we're kind of ahead of schedule. I could release it in early fall, no problem. That was... Writing a book is such a pain in the ass. To make it compatible with what you dreamed of, to make it in line with your vision, it's so much work. My last recipe was done this morning. The meat pie, I was keeping it on the side because I know how to make a good meat pie. And there it is, the picture for White People Food with beets, ketchup, and a buttery crust meat pie. It was absolutely delicious. Here's the picture of the full meat pie. I was keeping it as a last one because I knew I mastered this recipe. And I couldn't find a picture. Sometimes I like to buy the picture so I don't have to prepare each recipe. But I couldn't find a good meat pie picture, a tourtière à la Québécoise. All of the meat pie pictures that are available on services out there, they're all very gooey. I like really a true meat pie. No potatoes, no additives. No binder, just meat and onion. That is what I did. John Drake says, got an editor? Yeah, you're looking at it, asshole. JCB Masso says, hi, JF, have you watched UFC 328? The whole event was great in my opinion. Absolutely, I've seen the fight between Shimaev. I haven't looked at the whole event. But I've seen a couple of fights, including the Shimaev against Sean Strickman. Is that his name? Sean Strickland. It was an okay fight. You know, it wasn't there wasn't anything spectacular that happened. It was mostly very equal. It was very balanced as a fight. And Shimaev has simply failed at making his wrestling and groundwork Sean Strickland. So Shimaev has failed at just making it useful. So he dominated the first round. He went to the ground and he completely mastered Sean. But he wasn't able to repeat this, and he wasn't able to cash in on this. And as we've seen a Strickland that was very fatigued throughout the match, we haven't seen super strong punches from him. He was unable to unleash. So what we've seen is mostly jab. And it's kind of amazing that at this level, with two extreme professionals, that there didn't end up being more artifices than this. Because it was basically a wrestler failing to wrestle and a boxer doing jabs mostly. And so it wasn't a fight that I was fascinated about. But still, I understand that it's all technical, and the reason Shimaev couldn't do the wrestling stuff is probably that Strickland is just a very, very good on defense. I mean, the numbers are quite telling on this. He's one of the best in terms of takedown defense. So effectively, and he got sometimes took down. But Shimaev was never able to convert this into long-term domination. So Strickland, despite the extreme complexity of fighting against a Shimaev, Strickland was able to stand back up over, sometimes it took him 30 seconds, 1 minute to get back up, but he was getting it and through various jiu-jitsu advanced strategies. So it's interesting and it's technical. I would have liked to see, a little more action, but that's sometimes what the UFC has become. You know, personally, I'm a big fan of the Georges St-Pierre days, and in the Georges St-Pierre days, there were massive advancements on the ground. People weren't as good in defense, and so it led to, and people weren't as good in defensive boxing either. So you ended up having more action just from the incompetence of people. Now people are all stacked up in terms of takedown defense, and it leads to very technical matches like we've seen. It was an I'm super satisfied, and of course I'm super happy that Strickland is as one. He's made even a reference to APAC in his after-match speech. This is to be celebrated for real, that someone in an institution like the UFC, that the UFC is male enough to say, no, we're not gonna cut the balls of our fighters ideologically. Erudger says, did they say JF finished white people food? Yes, I just said it. Did they talk about it on the UFC? No, they haven't yet. I think it's a little too costly for me to be buying ads in the UFC. But yes, very proud of my last recipe. White people food is completed. It will definitely be available for getting it for next Christmas, because my target audience, my base case, is either you guys who like me or wives. Wives of men who want to please their men. I would love it if the woman of America and across the world buy this book to prepare good food for their men. I would love it if women prepared jambon beurre, tourtière. I would love it if they served rapi pie. I've made an absolutely advanced presentation on how to make white sauces from actual chicken carcasses. So, and I've applied the velouté white sauce to a rapi pie. I may be the first to do this in Canada. And it, oh my God, is it perfect? The velouté sauce has an intense chicken taste, and it comes to lay onto the rapi pie, which is one of my latest discoveries. I heard about rapi pie before, but I hadn't tasted it. I've now produced my own recipe for it, and holy shit, is that good. It's a casserole made of potatoes, onions, and chicken. But it is so well done because it's inspired from a French technique that puts a lot of butter in there, and you end up having, and it relies on the extraction of water from the potato by compressing the potato. Now, when the water goes out, it leaves with the starch. You separate the starch and the water, you get rid of the water, but you bring back the starch. And it leads to basically a chicken jello. This is basically what rapi pie is. It's a chicken potato jello. And with intense chicken taste already. And then I cover this with a velouté, which has been boiled chicken carcasses. Concentrated chicken taste. It's the chickeniest thing I've ever tasted, and I'm so proud of having created this recipe. I believe that this will be my point of pride. If you ask me now, what are my big points of pride for white people food? I think the Alberta beef cracklings and the rapi pie with velouté, those are my two big recipes. There's like 500 recipes in this book, and I love pretty much all of them. But these two are close to my heart, and I think they could actually lead to a like high restaurant, high level cuisine style. The Rappi Pie, very adjustable to high like hipster or bistro level context. You can make it cuter, you can make it more beautiful, but the cuisine there is extremely high level. Sony Crockett says, in preparation for insemination. Yes, we need to inseminate. I don't know. I'm meeting some women sometimes. I'm cold approaching thousands of women the most I can. Very often, though, you find yourself with these women who... they're not ready to move. They're not ready. They want to stay in place in their liberal town. No matter how much they want to bullshit about thinking in other ways, they, down the line, they are very attached to their leftist lifestyles. We have people joining us also on X, watching us live on X. Thank you so much for being here. The sun rose in Utqiagvik, the northernmost city in the US. So here you can see the sun doesn't even set. The sun arrives at its bottom and then goes back up without ever setting. Isn't that fascinating? So that is a last sunset type of thing. Which the sunset will come back only in August 2nd. I'm fatigued at the lies. The lies are omnipresent. I'm fatigued at makeup. I'm fatigued at fakery. I'm fatigued at the influencer culture. I'm tired. And I'm tired of this kind of stuff. We live in a fictitious world.
Hello， 你好呀，哥哥。
你好啊，想我了吗？
当然想你了。
Now this is a AI modified woman. Wait till you see the actual woman.
哥哥，我这手。
手怎么了？
手头有点紧。
哎，手头有点紧呢。
嗯。
我发你红包。
好的。
支付宝到账1000元。
谢谢哥哥。
Boom! Oh my god, an AI bug, Elon Musk, I don't know, Grok turned off, resetted the router or whatever, something went wrong technologically. I'm tired, boss, I'm damn tired. And I'm tired of this, the whole pylon onto Nick Fuentes continues. With people like this, Morgan Ariel, which I've never talked about, but she's a very worrying case, just like I see so many worrying cases. Jake Shields now coming out against Nick Fuentes. What else have we seen? We've seen, of course, Dan Bilzerian, the friends of Dan Bilzerian, Jan Carroll now. Owen Benjamin, an old style hater of Nick Fuentes. And what you see is that basically Nick is being sacrificed like Jesus Christ on the cross. On the cross. He's just a case of a guy who was too real and too good for the world. Oh, Jan Malcolm also is going after Nick Fuentes. So now that I see the whole thing, now that I look at it today, and I see all of the rats have come out of the ground, I see what this is. This is an attempt at divorcing Israeli critical Christianity type of movement within the right of the U.S., versus racial consciousness. The thing that all of these people have in common, and yes, Sally Edward, Red Eyes TV would be an exception to this law. But there is a kind of divorce that is happening. When I talk about the grifters here, I'm not talking about Devon Stack, Arval, or Red Eyes TV. But when you see this kind of grifter and what they're doing right now, they're trying to develop a vision of an Israeli critical movement in the Republican Party that is divorced from racial consciousness. Because somehow they are, for one reason or another, and it may vary across the individuals, but for one reason or another, they are anti-racist just as much as a liberal, basically. They are actively anti-racist. Crowned Christian says, bingo. Let's listen to what she has to say. By the way, new rule, ladies. If you're a hoe at 25 years old, you're a hoe forever, okay? We have to stop because this is a converter and a double dipper, Morgan Ariel. So she spends her 20s being a hoe, being a top model, living the model and party lifestyle, becoming a single mom in the process. So she has only two babies. And she veers into Christian trad conservatism when it was fit to her progression, basically. She's now 36 years old. She has been on Twitter since 2012, but her account was not active, was not very popular until the 2020. Where she was in this top model partying business, she was being a hoe, and eventually she converts to Christian conservative. She starts a fashion line that's called God something, like clothes for God or whatever, you know. And her fashion line, I don't know that it's been a big, big line, but she's kind of an influencer growing in that domain. And in 2020, starts becoming more political on the COVID stuff mostly, and then moves on into the opposition to Israeli interest. But always from a position of a non-racial view of America. One God. Okay, that is the name of our clothing company. So Lucas Gage is on the regular chat. He says, good analysis on the AFU coup. Yeah, and we'll do that more of that tonight, Lucas. Thank you for the good words. And thank you for, you know, being a voice of rationality. Because right now, rationality is getting punched in the fucking face. Because we are getting dominated in terms of influence and retweets and likes. We are getting dominated by a wave of fucking retards. Just literal idiots that don't have a project at all. And this woman has no project but to keep yapping on Twitter and attracting attention with a centimeter thick layer of makeup to keep herself looking young. And the thing is, when you're a hoe at 25 years old, you're spending the time that matters. You're spending the time that matters in your life being a hoe. And I've been thinking a lot about those cultures that are more severe against women. You know, those cultures that will actually cancel you as a woman if you're ever a hoe. If you're ever a hoe, you're a hoe forever. And I think I understand now. I think I understand, like India, Pakistan, whatever. And the countries of the Middle East and North Africa. It's like, if you don't do that, what women do is what she's done. They are hoes to try to farm the liberal followers and the leftist followers and the sexual degeneracy trend. And then when they become older and they become invalid objects of sexual attraction, they do a second ride on Christian conservatism. So that's the reason you have cultures that converge toward extreme mistreatment of women for any deviation of behavior, down to injustice. And I don't stand by injustice. I don't stand by punishing women who have really done nothing wrong. But I understand now why they get to injustice. It's because if you leave them an inch, if you leave them an inch, they will double dip. They'll be a hoe when it pays to be a hoe. They won't be making babies. And then they'll be a Christian conservative when it pays to be a Christian conservative. So we have to make a new rule. And that rule is we should permanently, we should take a picture of a woman at 25 years old. And that should be our social media picture forever. And if she's a hoe at that moment, she should be a hoe forever. Wasp sends a super chat, but he deleted it. You're going to have to resend it. I don't know. Maybe you want to correct it. Rip MSG sends $10. Thank you so much. He says, do you think women are evolved to be feminist at baseline and require a fair bit of seasoning / brainwashing? My wife is based, but only after incessant indoctrination. Oh, yeah. That's because women do not think. It's like, I know it sounds bad to say it. Women do not think in the same way men think. Women think strategically, what do I have to display in terms of layers of makeup? And they do the same with ideology. So a woman is never based. A woman can learn to spout out the based stuff. A woman can learn the patterns and display it as a layer of makeup. But when you're talking to a woman, you're always talking to a cardboard. Never forget this. You as a man, you feel that you're a single person, okay? You feel that's me, I want to be myself, you know, and you're yourself. And you will notice when you interact with women that they want to incite you to be more yourself. They will tell you, why don't you talk more about your emotions? And you're going to be like, well, no, I'm already being myself. I don't need to overextend into something else. What you see, you know, the stoic guy who looks at the TV like this, that's me. That's my emotions. But they're like, no, but I would want you to express your emotions like deeply, like inside of you. And what they really mean is that they keep doing it. And it's not emotions inside of them. It's emotions that they paint onto a cardboard in front of them that they carry like a shield, okay? That's beyond the makeup. That's the emotional makeup layer that they carry around. Yeah. Look at how happy I am. And a woman will do this until she dies. You'll have women that are 40, 50 years old. They'll be able to display happiness despite the fact that they're absolutely wrecked inside from having had zero babies in their lives. They will still display happiness. That's what a woman means when she says, I would like to see more of the emotional you. I would like you to be more like a woman. I would like you to do more of a pain thing rather than be the true self that you are, which happens to be a stoic male. So no, you cannot find a true based woman. All you can do is keep control of your woman by continually rewarding her for putting on the right based makeup at times. But never deceive yourself into thinking that this is true. Ever heard of Sadia Khan? I don't know who that is. Science Mans sends a super chat. Thank you so much for the generous donation. He says, why did you switch from Grok to ChatGPT? How do you think the other LLMs compare? Right now, I believe that ChatGPT just has the upper end. I think it's very strong. ChatGPT in Codex, particularly. So the initial reason I changed is that I started having work to do with files. Now, Grok in discussion form, Grok is excellent. But if you have to do work on a whole tree of folders, and you have to be like, please, can you go check the sword weapon in that game? And can you fix, because the sword is a little bit to the left, can you move it a little bit to the right and redo the animation? And can you also find the place where we cycle through the brain of each animal to make intentional decisions? And can you swipe that back to 2 seconds timer instead of 1 second? If you do that kind of stuff, Grok is unhelpful because Grok doesn't have yet programming environment powers and the power to browse through your local tree of files. In addition, I've discovered through this advantage that ChatGPT had through Codex, I've discovered that ChatGPT is generally getting very, very good. It's much more open than it used to be. I think they're doing a little bit like YouTube, where they kind of realized that their heavy suppression was not very good, heavy suppression and censorship. And of course, I don't engage on edgy subjects, but the fact that ChatGPT has accepted, for example, to write the whole of White People Food with me and didn't annoy me about the fact that it's called White People Food and the fact that I discuss heritage of the European people in that book, I think it's already a step in the good direction for them. I hope that Grok wins in the end, but Grok cannot win if it doesn't get into the IDE development interface language and being able to just browse through your computer and say, you know what, Jeff, I'm going to fix these 50 bugs in your 50,000 file game. Marby Dog says, I think that pregnancy is required to stabilize the psychology of women. If they don't have enough babies, they spiral into neurosis. Absolutely. So what you're seeing right now is a society in nightmare. What you're seeing right now is what happens when you mess up with the nature of woman. A woman who's pregnant is not going to be too crazy. She tends to become crazy about 2 weeks before the end, and she will also have severe psychiatric stuff happening at the birth of the baby. But generally, during the pregnancy, that's when a woman is the most happy and the most calm and the least destructive for society. So why are these people who have no political plan for America, why are they giving us their opinion about Nick Fuentes? What is relevant about what you think about Nick Fuentes if you don't have a project other than just yapping on Twitter for the rest of your life? Because Morgan Ariel, you can still make it look like you're kind of cute with a lot of makeup, but you're 36. In 4 years, 5 years from now, you're going to lose all of your followers that are purely attracted to you because you can still display some degree of beauty with a two-hour makeup session. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what you feel. You're not a leader of the movement because you have no intellectual capacity to develop an idea for yourself and to push it forward in a hostile environment. All you can do is side and flow with the system, which is what women do in general. So that's why, you're a Christian conservative, but you cannot take the racial ideas of the alt-right, of Nick, of others. And so you end up being a servant of a gatekeeping operation that seeks to dethrone Nick by forces that want to see Nick canceled right now.
Because people keep on spiraling out of control with all these wild conspiracy theories about America First United Conference, like it was some master plan to have everybody attack Nick Fuentes when Nick Fuentes was literally invited to the event and decided that he didn't want to go. Groypers who are chronically online and have...
So Nick has explained is thinking about this. He doesn't see this group, this particular group that is now teaming against him to cancel him. He doesn't see them as particularly productive and hopeful. They are poorly organized. They are trying to organize something that immediately went to shit in terms of a live event. And they don't have a political strategy. They don't have the acumen of Nick in terms of recognizing, okay, those are the levers of power. This is how we could get to them. They don't even have a theory, by the way. It's like you can criticize Nick, the feasibility of his thing in an evolving America. Sure, very hard stuff that Nick wants to do with America. But these people don't even have a plan. That's why they can't help no matter what they do, even when they follow their emotion on the spot. They end up serving the system. They end up serving exactly the anti-Nick Fuentes campaign that the powerfuls want to have.
Nothing better to do with their lives, decided to conjure up some drama, and now it continues to spiral out of control. If Nick knew how to work with other people, if Nick knew how to not be jealous of everybody else and not be such a disgusting narcissist, then maybe nobody would have to come.
All the same talking points. These people are coordinating. There's some PowerPoint that's been passing around. They all say Nick is narcissistic. They all take issue with, well, Nick is too bridge-burning. He has behavioral problems. It's like, no, you guys have started stacking on him. What I've seen is a very, very calm Nick. Nick was even saying, why is Dan Bilzerian criticizing me while he's on a campaign? That makes zero sense. While you're a campaign, you want to at least have the support of your domain, of the people, of the audiences that could support you. And certainly the Groypers would have been sympathetic to Dan Bilzerian. So why have these people started smashing onto Nick? Very unclear to me. It has to be some sort of coordination because they all come out with the same talking point. Nick is narcissistic. Nick is a fed. Nick is has burned too many bridges. He has behavioral issues. His fans are losers in their mom's basement. They all say the exact same thing. Where do you guys coordinate? And who's paying for this coordination? Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, you don't think it's not simply a matter of distinguishing themselves is why Nick is being attacked, and that ironically, he himself is the one who distinguishes himself? Well, there's definitely this. In the background of all this, there's the fact that influencers, they don't have original IDs, and yet they have to maintain an economy of attention. Nick has actually commented on this, I think yesterday or maybe recently. I saw a clip recently running around. Nick says, yeah, you know, there's a defect in the current attention economy. And it's a defect that's been happening before. Sometimes you have periods of growth. Like, remember the blood sports era. We were seeing all sorts of YouTubers rising. They didn't have a long history ahead of them. They didn't have very promising long-term intelligence of the kind that can keep them in business for 5, 10, 15 years. But there was an explosion of various people. You know, people who would not survive a doxing, or people who would be intimidated away from the internet, or people who just didn't have, after a year or two, their audience fizzled out and they didn't have much to say. The same is kind of happening under the Elon Musk wave of X. You have and it's happening also in parallel with Kick streaming, all of these parallel platforms that have developed that are extremely private in terms of their really small nuclei of self-promoting people. And it's the influencer economy, basically, kind of modeled around Andrew Tate, kind of mindless, surfing on whatever's available at the time. Not with a single original idea, but kind of dragging a lot of attention and hoarding attention. Now, as Nick pointed out, the economy as it stands is unsustainable. First, because these people are not intelligent enough. They're not intelligent enough to have intelligent things to say for 10 years. And so infighting, jealousy, he says this, I said that, he behaves like this, this is inevitable. Because it's all they can do. They have high school brains. These people are retarded. They're not intellectuals. They didn't rise through the intellectual process of actually saying interesting things on multiple generations, multiple years and eras of American politics. Morgan Ariel was not even in the game before COVID. So she's a little bit like a late promotion, like Brett Weinstein in a way. They are people who got engaged with internet discourse much later. They haven't done their dent. They haven't tooted their teeth. They haven't gone through the process of, will I have something interesting to say on my 300th stream, my 1,000th stream? They're not there yet. And therefore, what you have is, yes, at the background, what you described is true. There's just a jealousy and a stealing of attention that must go on. This always exists on the internet. I was constantly trying to, you know, get the crowds of Sargon of Akkad, because when we showed up on the internet, started our streaming career, Sargon of Akkad was so big. So that was the disbalance. Now you have this asymmetry. You're a rising star on the internet. What's your job? You have to show that you're more intelligent than Sargon of Akkad on a certain point. You have to say a truth that he's not willing to say. You see the process? It's the same thing for influencers, but the influencers are so stupid. I mean, we're dealing with stupid people here. When we talk Jake Shields, Dan Bilzerian, I mean, those are... And you know, I kind of love... Dan Bilzerian has appeared on InfoWars, and it sucks for me that I have to talk against this guy, because in the end, I think he's... that there seems to be some good heart in him. You know, he just lacks impulse control. He's just too much of a gym bro gorilla. And that's a problem. You cannot be an efficient intellectual if you go on Alex Jones and the first thing you think about saying is declare war to Israel. Because it's not even that it's wrong technically. See, that's why I think he has some kind of a good heart inside, Dan Bilzerian. It's not that it's wrong technically. Like, yes, you know, if we followed the rationality that we declare war to any terrorist nation, and if we analyze the behaviors of Israel and we realized, hey, you know, they're terrorizing a lot of people, then rationally one should consider that they could be added to a terrorist nation list or whatever. And it's like, yeah, it works rationally. But before you say that publicly, you have to think. You have to think, what is the pragmatic value of saying this? Other than making me look like more angry than I need to a bunch of people who will never take my side. What does it do to say this other than expose your lack of self-control, your internal rage? It doesn't expose much. This is why a thinker like Nick knows. And everything that Dan Bilzerian always does in interview is he goes too far. He goes too far, not even in a way that's wrong, but in a way that just makes him look more angry than he needs to. Like this obsession with Talmudic. Like, did you see what they say in the Talmud? Do you want to know why people like me and Nick never say that? Like, Do you know why I don't take the Talmud and say, look at what they say about us in the Talmud? It's because, first, the people who are in power in America don't necessarily believe in the Talmud. It may be a book that they've been familiarized with or not, and it's still a problem. We're still faced with the problem. The problem is that the book itself doesn't matter. The current behavior is what matters. The current overtake of American politics is what matters. So I'm aware of the quotes in the Talmud. I will very rarely use them as arguments, though. And you'll see that Nick almost never does. And it's because it's an argument that looks better than what you think. If you're low IQ, you won't understand readily why it doesn't matter what's written in the Talmud. Because any modern person can detach themselves from the Talmud by saying, oh, maybe I don't know about this book. It's written in the Talmud? Okay, well, I've not been raised with the Talmud. Igolini says, this is what someone says when their entire education is based off memes. Exactly. So when I see these people come with these mimetic arguments, I'm like, either we're faced with the source of the memes. I mean, we may be faced with influencers that are actually paid for pushing these weak arguments. Or we're faced, very likely, with just people who are not intellectual enough to know these things in advance. You have to have gone through the debate pipeline. You have to have gone through what are good arguments. Why are some very appealing at first, but intellectually basically useless in a debate?
Out and attack him. I think the attacks are a response to his horrible character. Because everybody in their right mind knows that he's...
Bro, this fucking voice... This fucking voice is killing me. Can we get a Parmigiano grapper and start grating my face? That would feel better. That would feel like a massage compared to this fucking voice. Please grate me like a Parmigiano Reggiano.
He's making up flat-out lies about Dan Bilzerian, and then he has freaking Lucas Gage come out to corroborate his story and say, oh, the same thing happened to me. This is the guy who's been, like, a proud anti-Semite for forever, and then all of a sudden he says he's leaving the JQ, and now he's on his hands and knees kissing up.
How is it that Morgan Ariel, this is something you have to ask yourself, Angelo Gage? Lucas Gage, okay, Lucas Gage. I mix up because our friend Lucas Gage has changed names so many times in his career. But ask yourself this, Lucas. How is it that Morgan Ariel is interested in you? How does that happen? This woman doesn't seem to be interested about anything intellectual. But she's interested in you this week. That's interesting. That's fascinating to me. You know, Lucas Gage has been for 10 years, maybe 15 years, on social media, making rational arguments, doing deep philosophy, sometimes pulling logic syllogism and putting forward rational philosophy points, like sometimes with a whiteboard. That didn't interest Morgan Ariel. But Morgan Ariel starts being interested in Lucas Gage when Lucas Gage says something that sounds very, very true about Dan Bilzerian, which is it's very, very likely that both Lucas and Nick are telling the truth when they say that Dan Bilzerian took them aside, deprived them of their phones so that there would be no recording, and started talking about violence and other things. That sounds very, very realistic to me. And now we have people coming out saying, you know, I have proof that this is the kind of stuff they do. Jake Shields, Dan Bilzerian have been discussing removing phones to talk about hot subjects. It seems very realistic that this happened. And somehow this attracts the attention of Morgan Ariel to be talking about Lucas Gage.
To the Jews and like one tweet away from going to Israel and kissing the wall for Bibi Netanyahu.
See what they're trying to do? So Nick Fuentes, so Lucas Gage would be one week away from going kiss the wall in Israel. They're suggesting we are the true resistance against Israel. They're suggesting we are better than Lucas Gage. We are better than Nick Fuentes. So this is truly a takeover. It's a replacement strategy that is being deployed here. This has been ordered, by the way. It's been ordered since even before this wave. This was always what Peter Thiel has been wanting to do. This was always what Elon Musk has been wanting to do. They want to isolate a segment of the right, and they want to kick it out of the Republican Party. I mean, Elon Musk has just laid this out explicitly. Peter Thiel has acted across the years, funding all sorts of friends of his and voices, including Tucker Carlson, to ensure that something like this would happen. What they're trying to do is they see us as a cancer. They see us as a cancer and us, you know, I'm very unimportant in this whole thing, but they see people like Nick as a cancer and they want to slice it away and get rid of it. DK Shadow says, very fetish behavior, if true. Sure, you can talk about violence all you want. There's no phones here, bro. Yeah, exactly. This must raise worries. For anyone paying attention and anyone involved in these movements. But they're trying to make themselves the real ones. Morgan Ariel, you're not a real one. You started opening up about stuff after COVID. You started opening up about anti-Israel commentary after COVID. Like, Nick had 10 years on you on this subject.
Give me a break. Can you guys not see what's going on?
Literally, this woman was 26 when Nick started talking about the Israel question. She was 26 and she was still a hoe. And she was in the process of becoming a single mom. Now, since then, you know, so we're talking, there's a point in time at which Nick was still the Nick of today. 10 years ago, Nick was talking about the same thing as he talks today. Nick was holding the same values as he states he has today. Nick was covering all of the political stuff that he talks about today. That's 10 years ago. Morgan Ariel, rewind 10 years. She was a hoe. She wasn't promoting Christianity. She was in the process of becoming a single mom from a life of party as a top model in liberal cities or whatever. So it's amazing that these people are now coming out of the woodworks to say we're the real ones. Lucas Gage is not a real one. And what do they have against Lucas Gage? Well, he recently apologized. He didn't, and I recommend that he didn't. He shouldn't have apologized, but he did it. So that was on his heart. He did it. And the thing is, Lucas Gage has apologized not for the entirety of his position on Israel. He's apologized for you know, behavior that went too far. Because Lucas Gage has been very spectacular and extroverted and demonstrative. You know, he's been doing stuff with flags and it's always been a little too much and to the point where he got banned from X for 6 months. And I was fighting against his ban. I think he shouldn't have been banned, but I think his performance art was misunderstood as too aggressive. Is visual performance art, which is kind of, people don't understand that we are in reality TV. That's the business we're in. And we're kind of a continuation of the reality TV of the 90s and the 2000s, where yes, reality TV was scripted, but it was designed in a way to give an impression of truth. And sometimes in that design, the truth emerged. In other words, yes, reality TV was fake. But there are people who actually fell in love in reality TV and became an actual couple. So there's a mix of reality and demonstration elements. And you have to understand that Lucas Gage, in his extroverted, exaggerated behaviors, has very often been just trying to be spectacular and pushing it too far for social acceptability. So he apologized for this. I think it's a reasonable apology, but when you give a targeted apology, here, that's what they do. That's what they do. They say, aha, so you're not really against Israel. Well, no, I didn't say that. I was just apologizing for putting people in a state of fear. That's what I wanted to apologize about. Oh, well, you're not a real one. Here, we can have Dan Bilzerian going on Alex Jones and calling for a declaration of war. We can have these guys making dog whistles for violence. You think we've not gone through this? You think we can't do this? You think you guys are the geniuses? You found the genius idea? It's to be an angry man, an angry gorilla on Alex Jones calling for war. We know all of this. It's not strategically very helpful to do this. Yeah, you're going to drag attention. Yeah, people are going to cheer on you and they're going to send you false signals that, oh, you're becoming a star. But it doesn't pay much in the long term because it doesn't accomplish much politically and it makes you extremely easy to attack down the line. That is why we don't do dog whistle. That is why we don't discuss violence publicly. And it's like, these people don't seem to have been here for the last 10 years of the internet.
On here? So no, there isn't some grand conspiracy to pull a coup on America First, because America First has never been about Nick Fuentes. America First is always going to be about the country and about all the people who live in the country and about what's in the best interest of all the people in the country. And if Nick Fuentes doesn't care about the people who are living in America and want to work on behalf of the people, then the people will move on without him. And that's just how it's going to slice. And Groypers are going to do nothing about it because you're chronically sitting in your mother's basements doing...
See, here we go. This is why these women never truly become right-wing. She's totally subscribing to the memes that have been attempted to be pushed by Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, others. The whole idea that somehow the listeners of Nick are the losers. And it's like, there's even... Who do you think retweets this kind of girl? Who do you think is salivating at this kind of fraudulent display of youth? They're probably much more loser than an average Nick listener. The guy who wakes up this morning and sees, oh yeah, I love what Morgan Ariel has to say today. Yeah, that's pretty smart. Oh yeah, you look good, Morgan. Can you imagine the degree of loser we're talking about here? I am absolutely certain that if you take the average Nick fan, you know, high IQ, pragmatic politics interested, strategic thinker. Now take the average guy that retweets Morgan Ariel. Does this solve, dilute, call AI to make an average look? I'm pretty sure your fans are more losers than Nick's fans. I'm pretty sure Nick's fans have it more together. I'm pretty sure they look better. I'm pretty sure they can show up in a tie. And they do. They constantly do show up in a suit everywhere. So this whole discourse is a fabrication. And it's a fabrication that exists for a reason. It's the combination of the matriarchal social rejection with the political order. It's like, oh, you are rejects. No, the society doesn't want any of this. And it's a very female thing, by the way. It's an absolutely female-driven thing. That's what happens when you give political power to females. It all becomes a chit-chat rumor mill instead of an actual thinking around how do we change politics? Because you guys, Morgan Ariel, Dan Bilzerian, you don't have a solution other than going for elections that you're sure to lose. That you're sure to lose, that you're sure to say stuff that will be used against you later, that you are subjecting yourself to a process that is completely useless for advancement.
Doing nothing and running your mouths. God bless.
If you say God bless like this, I don't think you're a Christian. God bless, losers. Like, am I the only one who understands here what's happening? She says to the Groypers are losers in their mom's basement. First, what's so wrong about this whole idea of being in your mom's basement? That why do moms have houses first? And why isn't that... Where's dad? Why is it always about mom's basement? Like, isn't it dad's basement too? Or people don't have dads anymore? What's going on with this?
Because you're chronically sitting in your mother's basement, doing nothing, and running your mouths. God bless.
Like, this is the bitchiest God bless I've ever heard. God bless, losers. I don't think the Bible, yeah, the name in vain. Yes, that is absolutely what the Bible warns against. It's even worse than name in vain. Like, name in vain was like, you use some word from the Bible for a dirty reason or for some kind of slur, or you kind of tarnish the Bible with it. But this is worse. This is worse than naming in vain. It's like literally using a biblical Christian expression for the purpose of, like, female nagging. Modern female nagging. God bless. In your mother's basement, you losers. You're gonna lose always. Wow. Like, literally, I would prefer to be grated by a cheese grater in the face forever. Be the shining light in this dark world. Morgan Ariel. She has the same name as, Ariel Sharon. Except it's her last name, whereas it was Ariel Sharon's first name. I don't know, in Israeli culture, is Ariel a female name or a male name? Morgan Ariel. Meanwhile, we have Jan Carroll celebrating the Owen Benjamin video against Nick Fuentes. Owen Benjamin has been a Nick hater for a very long time. And so he's just going to continue. And you can see that this whole crew, those are all late showers. They're all late showers trying to put Nick up to the cross. And, you know, they might get to him in the sense that I don't think that Nick's talent is exhaustible. I think he can have a good career forever until he dies. But I wonder if they will get on his mind, on his shoulders, because this can be, when this starts stacking, Nick has talked about it, how he's starting to have a problem just hating the world, hating human beings. He was describing how, you know, you're just existing for yourself out there. You're enjoying your day, eating some food, going to the restaurant. Everything is fine. And then you open your phone. And then it's the shit of the world. The shit of the human social world. We are truly in a case of rats of the sewer just rising up. And the fact is that the population is completely irrational. Like Owen Benjamin fans, for example, people who are just so dumb, they cannot see that they cannot believe that the world is round. They will use all sorts of false methods, like the horizon method, the whole curvature expectation over miles, 8 miles, 10 miles, whatever. And so they are totally dumb. And it's what most people are. So Nick's intelligence becomes a handicap. Eventually, when you're intelligent, people start hating on you. I know about it. You think ahead too much. You see into people's mistake too much, and it disrupts them. And Jan Carroll, same thing. Not a particularly smart guy. A guy who has been pushed artificially in a very, very late manner, and, you know, who somehow made it to Joe Rogan within a few months of starting to be interested in conspiracies. All of this is replacement practice, and it's all ordered replacement. This comes from the top. There is someone coordinating this. There is someone wanting this to happen. That I'm sure. Cogles says, preach it. Prepare your ears. I don't blame JF for not checking the X chat. You have to like it like 4 tabs to even access the chat over here. No, I am seeing the Hicks chat, but it's not my main screen. So sometimes I go back to you guys and sometimes I go back to YouTube. But I am checking once in a while to make sure that if you guys have something to say, just say it, wait 10 minutes and I'll get to it. But I am always supervising the chats because this is an interactive live stream. It's always been from the start. In fact, this is so rare because most people don't have the intelligence for live interaction. They don't have the intelligence to be able to have an opinion on poof, something that comes out of nowhere. I like to think that I do. Jake Shields comes out to defend Nick Fuentes. That was in 2025. So in 2025, Jake Shields was saying Nick Fuentes was banned from all social media for years, along with banks and even flying. He was only able to get his platform back because other large accounts noticed he was correct and pushed Elon. If you are accusing him of being a Fed, you are either an idiot or a liar. So that was when Jake Shields was rising, trying to rise in the political commentary sphere, trying to be more and more vocal about Israeli issues. And now, what does he say yesterday? I will never associate that with Nick Fuentes in the future, but I will also stop talking about it unless necessary. I sincerely appreciate all of his contributions, but now he's working against what is best for our nation. I suspect more and more people will come to this conclusion. By the way, this was all planned in advance. These people all tried to dig a little bit at Nick Fuentes, but they couldn't even hold the mask for a year or two. These people, within a year, are from, I stand by Nick Fuentes, he's been going through so much stuff, to, oh, you know, at this point, I believe he is a hindering for the movement. Well, wait a minute. Your life, your shelf life, your demonstrated shelf life in political commentary and political strategizing is 10% of what Nick has already demonstrated. He's done 10, 15 years of it. You've done 1 or 2 years of it. Morgan Ariel, Jake Shields, you guys don't even have a plan for where this is going. You just tried to drain some attention. Tried, hey, you know, I can understand. These people have built their persona on the memes of Tucker Carlson. Like Jake Shields. I remember Jake Shields about 2 years ago was putting together a gym that would attract white guys, you know, because I get it, you know. These white guys out there. They're angry of the current situation, bro. I can understand. Let's get these people, let's get this anger directed into something constructive. These people have all lived within the fantastic reality that anger, the anger of white males is the problem, which is, by the way, a very leftist meme. And Tucker Carlson keeps pushing this every time. Oh yeah, I'm so scared about what would happen if someone more talented than Nick Fuentes was to take over and more angry than Nick Fuentes. This is all the leftist fear of the Nazi emerging. And it's all a setup that was put together, reinforced by bot farms and fakery to create, they tried absorbing, they tried crucifying Nick and absorbing his energy into a novel, more distributed movement. Because that's always what they want to do. And while they do this, they will also somehow find a way to put it on your shoulders, what they're doing. They will accuse you of what they're doing. Here, Benjamin Netanyahu says that bot farms from Pakistan are pretending to be Americans who turned against Israel so they can change the narrative. I don't think that's happening very much because we've built on the basis of being resistant to fakery. And so I know that there is a demand for actual anti-Israel discourse, for discourse countering the actions of Israel, because we've measured that interest beyond retweets and posts and fakery and false engagement. That's what happens when you do super chats. You measure an actual interest from your actual crowds. You can see the names across the year. Some of them are loyal. Some of them come to seed trouble in a single show or to try to push you in a direction. But long term, you get to learn that there are real people. There is a real demand, and you can also see it through survey for these talking points. What I think is true is there are plenty of bot farms right now participating to this Nick bullshit, this pylon that seeks to replace him. And if they seek to replace him, that's because they have a plan. They have a plan for a movement that will absorb the energy without ever being threatening. Doubting Thomas says, JF, sorry if you already responded, but between saying that you were fatigued and that you have no friends, I was worried that you were depressed. Hope all is well. No, that don't worry. I'm not depressed. I'm done with... First, when I said I have no male friends, I was laughing my ass off. Because I wouldn't want male friends. Nor do I want female friends. I don't want friends. I'm absolutely happy. It's not depression. No. The reason I'm fatigued is this right here.
On his hands and knees, kissing up to the Jews, and like one tweet away from going to Israel and kissing the wall for Bibi Netanyahu. Give me a break. Can you guys not see what's going on here? So no, there isn't.
This woman is under so many layers of makeup. She can't even move. This is what I'm fatigued. I want youthful woman who still have the functionality of all their rotation, you know, all of the articulations, like hop, 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 move head, move head. This woman cannot move. There's a pile of makeup onto this woman that's holding her into place like an exoskeleton of sorts.
Some grand conspiracy to pull a coup on America First, because America First has never been about Nick Fuentes. America First is always going to be about the...
Notice the fixed posture here. No movement.
Country and about all the people who live in the country and about what's...
Look, this is not going to displace my hair. I'm not going to lose my makeup or get need a retouch. Come on, ladies. Just accept that you've become... The whole problem is that she wants to call herself still a sort of top model. Fashion designer. Top model. At some point, there's a point at which you have to accept the title former top model. Okay? Former top model. Can we settle on this, Morgan? And that is pretty much what I had to say for today. Let's listen to the current state of woman in the world elsewhere.
What's your zodiac sign?
I'm a Pisces.
Okay! I'm a Pisces.
What do you guys think about...
I mean, I love everybody.
But you love everybody?
Everybody. Everyone is a human.
On the planet? All of them?
I mean, yes. If you're a good Even person, you? Yeah. But if you're a bad person, then I don't like you.
No.
Oh.
Thank God. What? You and I, we share a common ancestor.
Who
this less than a, thank you. It's we share a common ancestor that's less than 1,000 years old.
What?
Does you think that matters in some way?
Yeah, which one in them?
So what, you're looking at me like I'm a crazy person.
You have an
person.
Ear tattoo.
I do,
did
yeah.
That hurt? What?
It actually did not hurt.
Are we the best people you've talked to all night?
You're pretty good. He almost fought a black guy.
Oh.
We interviewed a bunch of Jews. They were not happy with it. It's been a complicated
I'm single, I'm 5'6", I live in Fort Lauderdale, I have a run club.
Are you a virgin though?
Yeah. Fuck no! What the
fuck? 2025, grow the fuck up. No.
Grow the fuck up, she says. Wait, any virgins here?
We're not losers. No. We're not losers.
Yeah, losers.
We have a life.
Are you?
Right, they have a life.
Are you?
No, I'm a man.
See, exactly.
And a woman.
Double standard. Anyways.
Well, yeah, it's a double standard.
Isn't that like personal question?
Is it a personal question?
Definitely not a virgin.
I would say.
It's a bit of a personal question.
Well, you don't have to answer it. You guys made it very clear you're not virgins.
Yeah.
I'm fatigued, guys. I'm just fatigued. Women are vapid. They don't have much to say, much to think. If you'd like to support the show, join the Patreon or the Subscribestar. The show needs your support to keep going. A few chats before I conclude the show. John Drake says, oh, This guy and his brother have a pretty funny channel. I don't know about him. That was the first time I think I saw something from him. And yeah, that is it. They invite black people in to yell at them, basically. Okay.